freedoms that America affords, this freedom right here, the freedom to worship. And we never want to take that freedom for granted. There's not one of us that drove to church today wondered whether we were going to be persecuted, put in jail, imprisoned, or opposed in any way. But yet many of those missionaries that we support through our Kingdom Builders offerings, they serve in areas where gatherings like this are illegal and unlawful and prohibited. So we are grateful, and we need to continue to be grateful. Listen, I recognize our time is a little later than normal, so I'll be conscious of that. I'll be aware of it the whole time I'm preaching today, okay? I just want you to know that. I'll be aware. It's not going to stop me from preaching, but I'll be aware of it. Just want you to know that. I'm kidding. I'm not going to take as long as I normally do. Hey, but let me paint a little scenario for you that maybe you might identify with. There have been times when Starla has sent me to, and I'm setting up the message, okay? There are times she sent me to the, let's say Walgreens, to pick up a prescription for her or something, and I go in and I walk in, and because I have a certain type of hairspray that I like from Walgreens, it's not always readily available, so I always have to check. So while I'm walking back to the pharmacy, I think, oh, I'll slip in here and check, and no number five, okay. But while I'm there, oh wait, they've got a new body wash that is leather and fire scented together. I'm in. I need to go back and get a grocery bag, a little. So I get the bag so I can start. I'll put this in here, and while I'm over here, I notice Cinnamon Toast Crunch is on sale. Can't pass that up. So I get a few boxes of that. Well, I probably ought to get some peanut butter for those midnight snacks while I'm here. And, okay, now I'm going to need a little bigger bag. So I'll take that little basket back and get the grocery cart, come and start loading things up, only to notice the elusive Topo Chico lime is ready. So I got to get the Topo Chico lime because you don't always know when it's going to be. So I load up with a few, you know, cartons of Topo Chico lime, only to realize I'm in the greeting card section now. I'm bound to have a grandchild coming up with a birthday. So I pull out my notes section of my phone and look through, you know, the the long list of grandchildren birthdays that I have to make sure we get the right birthday cards. Then finally get all that done and then make my way up to the register, put everything on the thing. I scan it, get it done, spend my money, load it all up. It's in like six or seven bags now, but when I get home, I take all six or seven bags in at the same time because that's what guys do, one trip, all right? One trip, and I take it, you know, and load them all up on the counter only for Starla to look at me like, where did all this come from? So I just picked up a few essentials, okay? Just a few things that were needed, and then she'll ask me, which bag is my prescription in? Oh. It's in the other bag. I'll be back in about 15 minutes. Does that ever happen to anybody else? You know, you start out heading to do one thing and get completely distracted and end up doing something completely different. Maybe you're going in just to get a new set of tires and you end up coming out with a brand new car that you can't afford. Or you're going to the store and just to pick up a pair of shoes and what you come out with a whole outfit, earrings, necklace, and handbag and all the accessories along with it. That's kind of the way life is, but it's also the story of manipulators and toxic people. I'll tell you where I'm going with this, where they see your need or they see your greed and they take advantage of it and sell you something that they want to sell rather than what you need. And I believe this message is going to help you because every single one of us encounter toxic people in our lives. Now, we've been in this sermon series, Growing Pains, which is growing from infancy to maturity in our faith. And this is Peter's version of continuing to grow, making sure that you are healthy so you can continue to grow. Now, I'm going to call this dealing with toxic people. But Peter talks about false teachers. Because what I realize is that the way false teachers were infiltrating the early church that Peter's addressing here is the same way toxic people affect us. So let's just get right to it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, but there are false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In other words, twisting the truth a little bit. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories, tell you things that aren't true. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them. Their destruction has not been sleeping. Here's the first point. Number one, avoid people who don't tell you the whole truth. Avoid people that don't tell you the whole truth. What Peter's talking about are the manipulative people that get in our lives that don't tell us the whole truth. They only tell us what they want us to hear so they can manipulate you for their own good. What he's saying here is that the church was being exploited by deceptive words or using our own covetousness against us, because manipulators and toxic people, they can see when we begin to covet something or when we begin to really want something badly. Now, I sold cars for a while, and I think I know kind of what it takes to sell a car. Somebody comes in, they ask, you know, they're looking for something. What's your favorite color? Oh, we got that car in that color. Sure do. Yeah, it's beautiful in that color. Take it for a drive. Isn't this thing comfortable? It's comfortable. Right? See how fast it goes. Go ahead, punch it, drive it. Yeah, smooth, right? It's smooth. Can't you see yourself in this car? Yeah. Look, you may be single now, but you won't be single long. Mm-mm. The girls will flock to you now. That's right. Can we get you in this car? Sure, we can get you in this car. At a low interest rate of 23%. Yeah, we can get you in this car. Sure, yeah. You need payments, $200 a month? No problem. We can finance it for 14 years. Look, nobody needs to die alone. Do this thing, get this car, you'll be the man. But I couldn't always do that. Couldn't always do that. I remember selling cars. I remember this guy walked in, he was an attorney. And the attorney walked in. He said, here's how he started the conversation. I want the most expensive Escalade you got on the lot. Isn't that what you want to hear? That's an easy slam dunk deal. But I said, well, you celebrating something, some occasion? You're really going large? You're going big on this car? He says, yeah, celebrating a divorce. My wife wants to divorce me, so I'm sticking it to her, and I'm going to spend all my money before she divorces me. Okay. Really can't be a part of this. So I said, tell me what the problem is. Just tell me what's going on. He starts telling me what's going on. Before long, you know, I hear his heart, and it's not over. I said, man, let's pray. Can I pray with you about your marriage? He says, sure, let's pray. So he bows his head and prays. I finish praying. He's crying. He turns around, gives me this big old hug, an awkward hug. You know, I'm looking around. And he says, you know what? I don't want that car after all. I'm going to go home and make up with my wife. I said, you go, man, go. And I walked away kicking myself. I could have sold a car. But the fact is, there's nothing wrong with buying a car, but there's everything wrong with allowing manipulators who don't really care about you to take advantage of you and to take advantage of your heart to be able to work against you. And that's why we have to make sure that we're not allowing people to have that kind of control over our lives. I know guys that they start dating and you know, oh man, I'm dating this pretty girl. Yeah, I know that girl. You better watch out. She's not even a Christian. I know, but she's pretty. She's not really mature. Yeah, I know, but she's pretty. Look, dude, I'm pretty sure she worships the devil. I know, but she's pretty. Look, I'm pretty sure she just got out of prison for killing her ex. I know, but she's pretty. You know, some people just won't listen, but then finally, after a whole lot of pain, that those people, they'll finally say, you know what, that girl's probably not for me. Yeah, really, yeah, glad you finally came around. What's the remedy? The remedy is to make sure that you've got people in your life who have your back, who love you enough to speak into your life, who can see those blind spots, because we all have blind spots. And there are people that weave their way into our lives that Satan has sent to bring into our lives to try to distract us, to destroy us, to minimize our impact upon this world. And that's why you need people in your life who love you enough to look you in the eyes and speak straight into your life and tell you what is right and what is wrong. In fact, Proverbs 11:14 says, where there's no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Make sure you've got a council of friends in your life. Amen? All right, look at verse number 4. For God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. He didn't spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what's going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for the righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. Here's the second point. Avoid people who manipulate circumstances. Now, in this passage, that section we just read, Peter references two people. He references Noah and he references Lot. Lot had to go through the storm, suffered because, not because of anything he did, but because of the sin of the people. But Lot suffered because of choices he made. Lot was a righteous man, but he made a dumb choice to live in Sodom. And so he suffered because of choices that he made. So that tends to happen to us when manipulators try to shame us and guilt us into doing something for them, then we end up sometimes blaming God or blaming others rather than taking responsibility for ourselves. You've got to be willing to take responsibility for yourself. Now, I'll tell you who is the greatest manipulators in the whole world. Children. That's right. They know how to leverage circumstances, but don't underestimate the little people, okay? They know exactly what they're doing. That's why they throw temper tantrums in the middle of the store, because they know you will give them what they want to get them to shut up. And they'll do it again. I tried to threaten to run away from home one time, but my dad offered to help pack my bags. It didn't go quite the way I wanted. So I never did that again. But it was just manipulation on my part. But the one word that stops manipulators and stop toxic people is just simply no. No, just no. Just say no. As long as I'm alive, the answer will be no. Just learn to say no. And if you don't say no, then they'll continue to take advantage of you. Now listen, Jesus loved everyone equally, but he didn't treat everyone equally. He had 12 disciples, not 1,200. So there were certain people that had a different relationship with him than other people. And there are some people that God wants you to have a deeper relationship with than others. It doesn't mean that we don't love people. It doesn't mean that we're not kind to people. It doesn't mean that we're not generous to people. We should be all of those things and more. But there are certain people that God wants you to have in your life who can really impact you and influence you. And there are certain people that you shouldn't have in your life. Look at this last section. Verse 15, worship team, come back. It says, they've left the straight, verse number 15, they've left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness, but he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, an animal without speech who spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These people are springs without water and mist driven by the storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. Here's the last thing, and I'm going to stop with this. Avoid people who poison your life. See, some people will endure bad relationships. They will endure getting walked on, treated like a nobody, just so you can be either in a relationship or in a clique or in a club or have certain type of status. But those people are killing you, and that's what we see right here. Peter mentions this guy by the name of Balaam. Balaam was a prophet, not Jewish, but he was a prophet. He was hired by a guy named Balak to curse Israel. The problem was that every time he tried to open his mouth and curse Israel, blessings would come out. Go back and read the story. It's hilarious. He couldn't do it if he wanted. But what he did is he taught God's enemies, he taught them how to manipulate the Jewish people, how to lead them astray, how to lead them into idolatry and sexual immorality. Look at this verse in Numbers 31:16. It says, they were the ones who followed Balaam's advice and enticed the Israelites to be unfaithful to the Lord. See, Balaam found a way around not being able to curse Israel, so he taught other people to curse Israel. Sometimes the enemy sends people into your life to try to get you to make the bad choices. That's why 2 Timothy 2 says, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. You know what gangrene does? It attacks the tissues of the body, and it stops and prevents life and nutrient and blood to flow to you. Meaning there are people that the enemy will put in your life that will affect you like gangrene. It'll keep life from flowing to you. Some of you know there are some people that suck the life right out of you, and there are some people that give life to you, right? Now listen to me carefully. We're Christians. We're believers. We believe that we are here to make an impact upon this world. We are called to minister to anybody that we have an opportunity. But you are not necessarily called to everybody. Because there are some relationships where you are the influencer, and for whatever reason, there are some relationships where you are influenced. And it's in those relationships that the influence is not good. Cut it off, move on. Let God bring somebody else that can be the influencer. You see, when you get on a plane and the captain says, if the cabin loses air pressure, oxygen mask is gonna drop, put yours on before you assist anybody else. Because if you're not healthy, you can't help anybody else. This message that I'm sharing today, it's not a self-preservation message. Let's just hold on and make sure we don't ever have anybody in our life that makes us uncomfortable. No, you're gonna have uncomfortable situations. But this is about making sure that you are healthy so that you can be the brightest light in this dark world. This is about you being strong so you can help the weak. This is about you being blessed so that you can be a blessing to others. So you have to take care of yourself and realize that, yes, there are some times that God calls us into circumstances that are uncomfortable, that aren't easy, that are painful. Then do it with everything that God has called you to do. I mean, go for it. But there are some times that the enemy sends people in your life to suck the life and the joy and the peace right out of you. And that's when you need to have people in your life that can say, hey, that relationship is not good for you. Now listen, just in case you're listening to me right now and say, Pastor, I hear you loud and clear, and I've identified the toxic people in my life. You're talking about my husband right now. I know. You're talking about my wife right now. I know. Listen, no, you have totally misread me. I'm not talking about your spouses. If it's your spouse, you can't cut them out of your life, okay? You get counseling, you get prayer, you get it fixed. And there's others of you, some of you parents say, you're talking about my kids. I know. You can't excommunicate your kids. You can't divorce your kids, okay? And some of you kids are thinking, you're talking about my mom and dad. You're stuck with them, okay? I'm not talking about family here. I'm talking about relationships like at your job. You might need another job or another office or another department. Some of you are in relationships, maybe with somebody that's not a Christian. You need to examine that relationship and realize that evil communications corrupt good manners. Realize that we're not called to be unequally yoked. You need to examine those relationships. Realize that what I'm talking about today is that the enemy knows how to bring people into your life to be able to destroy you, to suck the life out of you so that you cannot have an impact upon this world. It's the same way the enemy is trying to destroy marriage today so that the marriage can't be an example to the world of a relationship of Jesus and his church. So that's why the enemy knows exactly what he's doing. So we just have to be smarter. We have to come together as community and say, hey, I feel like I'm in an unhealthy relationship here. Give me some counsel. Give me some advice. Talk to people who know. And then trust that when you make that decision, maybe it's not to completely excommunicate somebody. Maybe it's just to put a pause on the relationship. So I need to put a pause on this until I can get myself healthy and strong. Either way, this is what I realize. Every single one of us have people in our lives, and I want you to think about it just for a moment. And I'm going to stop in just a couple of minutes. You have people in your life that have been a blessing to you. Aren't we thankful for those people that God has brought into our life? They've encouraged us. They've prayed for us. They've been patient with us. They loved us when we didn't deserve to be loved. And there are some people that God has put us into their life, and we've been the one who's been patient and loving and caring and generous. But there are others that Satan has brought into our life to try to distract us from what God's called us to do, has tried to create chaos and frustration to where we would just give up and turn our back on this whole thing. It's in those times that you need to realize it's necessary for you to be healthy, spiritually strong, so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. I'm going to challenge you to examine your relationships this week. Examine the ones that need to be cut out. Examine the ones that you just need to put a pause on. And identify the ones that you need to lean in, the ones that are really life-giving. You know what? And that may be you're the positive influence and there's somebody else that is really hurting. But when you're with them and they're receiving your counsel, your prayer, your encouragement, it encourages you. That's life-giving. I'm not saying you're always taken from somebody else. Life-giving can come from when you're helping somebody else. Just clarify, identify right relationships in your life and be better and be stronger so that we can have a better impact on this world around us. Amen? Stand to your feet with me, please. Your heads bowed just for a moment. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here today. As we celebrate our freedom as a country, we recognize that that freedom did not come at an easy price. It was paid for by the death of our Savior Jesus. So we recognize that any freedom that we know and we experience today came at a price. And for this, we are grateful. I pray for all of the people of Freedom Church to walk in freedom, to walk in joy, to walk in liberty. May they know the freedom that comes from surrendering everything to Jesus. And here in this sacred moment, we say collectively and individually, be the Savior of my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. And I ask this in the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.